But good morning, everybody. And thank you for joining and being part of this conversation today as we discern how we best care for one another and how we best care for our neighbors amid this epidemic. Before we go get started, oh, Anna did some screen sharing. Let's stop that. All right. I want to go over a few things that hopefully will make this experience go a little bit more smoothly. I've never hosted a Zoom conversation before, and Jeff was going to co-host, but Jeff was having some issues, and so we'll figure it out. But we're in uncharted times, so I'm trusting that we're just going to have to figure this out together, and it's okay to be unprepared. So the most important thing is when you gather in groups like this is to keep yourself muted when you're not talking. And so for those who join via the app, there's a little mute button there on the bottom left-hand corner. And so please remain muted at all times when you're not talking. You can unmute yourself when you need to talk, and that's how we'll be able to hear you. You can also hold the space bar and keep it holding while you're talking to temporarily unmute yourself. And so instead of having to click that button over and over again, if you hold the space bar and keep it holding the whole time you're talking, that will work as well. So there's two ways that you can view if you've never used it. You can view based off of the speaker view, and that's the generally the way that it's done. And in the top right-hand corner there, you can also switch it to gallery view so you can see. You can't see everybody because we have too many people on right now, but you can see at any one time 20 people. And I think we have 31 people currently on, which is quite remarkable. There is a chat button on the bottom of the bar there. When you move your cursor, it'll appear. That bottom bar shows currently the order of service. And if you have any questions, you can send a chat. When you send chat, you can send the chat to everybody. You can send the chat to just me if you want. Have a question just for me, and I will. If you send it just to me, I will be able to see it, and I'll be able to answer you directly. So there's a little bit about Zoom. It's so great that Bob and Myrna, you are back. We were so worried, and we are thankful that you got home safely. There's going to be a time of sharing, and we would love to hear anything you might have to say about your trip. I wish we were able to gather in person. There's just so many things in our worship that we can't do very well, like singing, though we're going to try to do it virtually. But I'm so grateful that we have modern technology that allows us to connect like this and to gather and support each other from our distance. We just have no idea how long this season is going to last. But I do think this is the most prudent and responsible thing we can do for each other, for our neighbors, for our healthcare system. And I'm just thankful that we have all of you together this morning to show how much that you care about us and care about one another and how much this church means to you. So this morning, I'd like to open with a prayer. It's a prayer that I've adapted. It comes from a collection of American rabbis. And this prayer is entitled On Anxiety. So let's pray. Adonai, you abide though all things change. We are anxious and fearful, and we turn our hearts to you, looking to you and leaning on your strength. It is written, blessed is the one whose strength is in you. Bless us now with faith and with courage. Help us to feel that you are with us, steadying and sustaining us with the assurance that we are loved. Be with us and bring us hope, so that in the days to come, our aspirations may be fulfilled for our good and for the good of those we love who depend on us. Banish our fears with the sense that you are always present to uphold and sustain us as it is written in the book of Isaiah. Have no fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the power of my righteousness. Amen. And now John is going to lead us in a song. Please keep your sound muted while we are singing. And John is going to be sharing the lyrics while we do the singing.
So. Okay, so we had tested this earlier. Hopefully it works. Are you guys able to see the lyrics to God is Here Among Us?
Yes.
Ryan says yes. Okay, I'm going to grab my guitar. God is here among us, let us all adore him, and with us here before him. God is here within us, soul in silence fear him, humbly, fervently draw near him. Now his own who have known God in worship holy, yield their spirits holy. Come abide within me, let my soul like Mary be thine earthly sanctuary. Come indwelling spirit, now transfigured splendor, love and honor will I render. Where I go, here below, let me bow before thee, know thee and adore thee. Gladly we surrender this deceitful treasures, pride of life and sinful pleasures. Gladly, Lord, we offer thine to be forever, soul and life and each endeavor. Thou alone shalt be known, Lord of all our being, life's true way decreeing.
Thank you, John. Before we start our discussion, I wanted to share a scripture and a few words, and then Andy is going to lead us in some thoughts from the elders. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king replies, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. I know it feels like we are in uncharted times. I talked to Doris this week, and she mentioned how she had never seen anything like this in her entire life. And this is true. It's been over 100 years since we've seen anything even remotely like this. And that's reminds us how extremely fortunate we are that epidemics are so uncommon today. But it's important for us to remember that epidemics are nothing new to Christianity. Christians have been ministering in times like these, in fact, in times much worse than these, since its inception. This week, I started reading a book about the rise of Christianity and how it was intricately tied to Christians' actions during two crucial epidemics that ravaged Rome. The first epidemic took place from 165 to 180, which some medical historians believe was the first instance of smallpox in the West. And during that 15-year period, almost a third of the population died. And the second happened across about 100 years later, when measles most likely swept across Rome. And this was even most devastating than the first. And as I was reading, what I found so interesting was that it was during those two epidemics that Christianity really blossomed and grew. And that was because Christians were instrumental and providing care and love during those chaotic times. For during those times in the epidemics, it was pretty common for everyone who could to simply run away, to head to the mountains. People believed that the only sensible thing was to flee and shun all contact with the sick. Even physicians got out of Rome as quickly as they could. They didn't have the luxury of all the protocols and protections which we enjoy today, and so it makes sense. But the one group that didn't flee, that didn't stop helping their neighbors, even if it meant coming into contact with those horrific diseases, that was the Christians. Here is what the great Christian preacher Dionysius wrote during his Easter address when his congregation could not gather for worship. Most of our Christian brothers and sisters show unbounded love and loyalty. They didn't spare themselves. They didn't think only of themselves, but thought of the other. Heedless of danger, they took charge of the sick. They attended to their every need. They ministered to them in Jesus Christ's name. And with them, some departed this life serenely, for they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors. Many in nursing and curing others transferred their death to themselves and died in their stead. In the non-Christian world, they quickly began to notice. They noticed how Christians cared for their sick, how they didn't abandon each other, how they were not afraid of death. Even more, they noticed how these Christians even risked getting infected by caring for pagans. And these non-Christians who survived, many of them joined their ranks. But here's the interesting part. You may think that because these Christians didn't flee, because they didn't completely isolate themselves, they likely had a much higher mortality rate. But the opposite is true. Why? Because they found that it's so much harder to survive when you're sick and you're completely alone, when you have no support, when you feel like no one cares and there's nothing much to live for. Sure, lots of Christians got sick in their willingness to aid others in their times of death. But their willingness to help enabled many more to survive due to their love, their care, and their attention, their willingness to care for all their neighbors. As I'm sure we're already realizing, I've got texts from friends, it's so easy to feel alone, isolated, scared, separated during times like these. I read yesterday that the CDC is recommending that no visitors go to nursing homes and similar facilities to stop the spread of the virus, and I get it, it makes sense. But I can only think how isolating it must be for those who are there and those who have the virus. Those who are facing sickness and potential death and have to face it alone. I read yesterday that the first person who died in Colorado, she lived alone. While she might have had a good support system, this just reinforced my belief that we have to act like the early Christians, that we have to find ways carefully, thoughtfully, to support the sick, to offer them our presence and our prayers, however we can, to help them with their loneliness, their anxiousness, and the scared feelings that they must be facing in this chaotic and crazy time. Martin Luther once wrote a letter, a sermon, titled, Whether One May Flee from the Deadly Plague. When the plague reemerged in Luther's own town in Wittenberg and in the surrounding cities in the late 1520s. It's another text I turned to this week as I'm trying to make sense of how we are to respond. Interestingly, Luther, like so many of the early Christians, turned to Matthew 25 to say, no, we can't flee. That doesn't mean we don't take care of ourselves. That doesn't mean we don't do all that we can to keep ourselves safe. But we mustn't abandon ourselves, our neighbors either. I love this quote by Martin Luther, and some of you might have read it on my Facebook page yesterday. And I will use this as my closing. Martin Luther says this, use medicine. Take potions which can help you, fumigate houses, yards, and streets. Shun persons and places where your neighbor does not need your presence or has recovered. And act like a person who wants to help put out the burning city. Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate. I shall help purify the air. I should administer medicine and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus not perchance infect and pollute others and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. However, if my neighbor needs me, I shall not avoid place or person, but shall go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith, because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. I can think of no better advice in times such as these. May God grant us the grace and the fortitude and the wisdom so all of us can find whatever ways that we can to display God's healing and hope in times such as these. Andy, now I'm going to turn this over to you for a second to talk a little bit about what the elders think about how we can care for each other, and we'll have a discussion about what that might mean.
All right. Hopefully that's working. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, good. Great. So the elders, we met this past week, and we were still unsure of how we were moving forward at that point. So things have changed just drastically in a short amount of time. But we've wanted to, provide support, provide care for our whole community. And we're trying to figure out ways to do that. We as elders are always available for anyone who wants to reach out. You can contact us by phone, we created that elders email, the Gmail account, that if anybody wants to email us that way, that's a great way. But as a community, we've kind of wanted to provide ways that everyone would be, anyone who's able to provide support, either through going to the grocery store for someone who doesn't want to go out, or for calling, sending emails, sending text messages, any way that might be supportive for anyone. So we were kind of really trying to be thoughtful in what ways could be supportive without putting anyone in unneeded risk in any ways. So especially for our more vulnerable populations, we wanted to just think about ways we could be supportive. So again, some of the ideas we thought of: being there to run to the grocery store for someone, or really just sending notes or emails or giving a phone call. We kind of wanted to leave it open a little bit to what people want. But again, kind of when we talked about our at our Sunday school, being very direct: if people want to have those check-ins, let us know. I had an idea of creating just a quick form, how you would like to be checked in on. I think it's very good to be intentional about that. So kind of if you would like check-ins regularly, or if you would like need supports with groceries, I could put some pieces like that in there. So you could fill out the form saying this is what I need. And then also have that form available for people who would be willing to do some of those things like grocery shopping or checking in over a phone call. But we're also open to other ideas. Bob wasn't able to be part of that meeting earlier this week, so I'm sure Bob would have some ideas of how we could care. We want to open up that conversation a little bit to hear if anybody else has some ideas for how they would like support or how they could be supportive to others. So I think I would give it a chance to let people unmute themselves and have a voice. I'm not sure how easily that is to be managed. I haven't used Zoom much myself, so we can see how well we can open that up.
Yeah, feel free to unmute yourself. We'll take turns. I think we'll do it as best as we can, and if somebody else is talking, just wait to your turn.
Andy, this is John. You mentioned a form. Is that something that's already gone out by email, or how is that being distributed?
It is not. I haven't moved forward with that yet, but that's something I would be very willing to do. We could send that out in an email so people could respond directly from the email. So I haven't created that yet, but I would be happy to do that. I've got nothing but time on my hands at this point. So,
This is Jeff. Did you say that the form would both indicate whether you're willing to help as well as whether you have needs?
Yeah, I was envisioning kind of the first question being, do you need supports, or would you be willing to give some supports? Or it could be both and in different ways, just via phone messages or things like that. I think everyone can provide support as well as be supported in this time. So I think we could have that questionnaire be out there for for everyone? What ways can you be supportive, and what ways can you be, do you need support?
I was going to bring this up during the prayer time and announcement time, but Dennis is currently in self-quarantine, just to keep this ideas of where we are. So this is something that is real and live to our congregation. Dennis is feeling fine. He was just at the bank the same day that somebody who had coronavirus was at the bank. And so he is currently in self-quarantine for 14 days. And so he hasn't said if he needs any groceries or not. I called him and I'm checking in with him, but there's people like that. I think it's really important for us to make sure that we check in and give him calls. I know he's extremely disappointed that there's no sports at this time, because there's not much for him to do while he's just at home. And so this is a real live issue, and I'm sure it's going to be more prevalent as they continue to track down people who have coronavirus and ask people to self-quarantine out of safety.
This is Dennis. I am here on the landline. I didn't put anything on the computer, but I am doing fine, no symptoms. I couldn't get a lot of information from the credit union when I was there. They just stated that somebody was compromised, one of the employees, and on the particular day that I went. I do have a lot of groceries. I'm fine there. I've got all I need, but I want to thank Ryan and John for getting a hold of me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I just had a question about what the elders' email address was. It's ghmc.elders@gmail.com. I missed the @ on the text message or on the chat message. So I will update that. And feel free to email at any time. All the elders have access to that. And we try to check it regularly. I try to check it regularly. Not much has gone through there, but again, that can be something that can be sent directly to us. I'll update that here on the chat.
I'm sure there'd be a lot of us, but I'm glad to help with anything I can help with, groceries or whatever. But I think it might be good to touch base with anyone who's not on this call in case the reason is that they don't know how to get on or having technology problems. If people choose not to, that's fine, but I hate to have people miss something like this because they don't know how to manage it.
Yeah, we are looking into ways to help people be able to join. There are some ways that we can invite people via phone and that we are going to be talking about, so that if people who can't join because of the technology issues, but we could just call them directly. That's something we want to look at for next week. We're kind of in a rush and a pitch to get this thing together and me figuring out this technology as quick as I can, but we're going to have a better understanding of this technology by next week and how we can better use it to include as many voices and faces as we possibly can.
I just kind of want to get a feel. Is that something like people would be interested in, just having kind of a formal way of organizing, saying what your needs are? That would be something I could send out an email to the congregation or have Kate or Ryan do that. Just to kind of be very direct with what your needs are, how we can be supportive for each other as a community, even when we can't be together. So I would, if everybody is thinking that's a great way to do, be direct with it, I think we could move forward with that. But I could take any other suggestions as people have them as well.
Maybe this is Anna. I think that's a good idea. I like the idea of the Google form. I wonder if there's a way to do some sort of like small groups, because I think a lot of what we're losing is not being able to connect with each other. So maybe have an option for people to opt into a kind of virtual small group just to catch up. I don't know. I'm just, yeah, not sure if that's something people would be interested in, but I think that's something that, you know, we're missing by not having, by not physically being together. So.
This is Audrey. This probably wouldn't go on the forum, but I just want everyone to remember that if you're not feeling well, most doctors and health systems do offer things like virtual visits now. And so rather than going to an emergency room or an urgent care where you're, again, exposing yourself to risk, doing those visits with your doctor online is a good idea.
All right. Well, I think, yeah, I think that's a good idea with small groups. And yeah, definitely taking care to use our technology for all of our health needs as well. That's, yeah, all good advice. So I think it sounds like I'll move forward with this forum, kind of ways we can be supportive, ways we'd like to be supported and everything. So I will send that out. I'll kind of consult with the other elders and Ryan, and then we'll move forward with that.
Thanks, Andy, and thanks, Anna. It looks, I mean, the chat box says that people are very appreciative of both those ideas. Next in the order, I have to scroll back up here, I believe, is we have a birthday today to celebrate. And that
is... Let me go gather Sadie. She's very busy playing, so I'll go grab her.
Yeah. Let's grab Sadie.
And we're one day past another important birthday.
Well, I don't get a birthday blessing, but thank you. We have a lot of good birthdays. We have a lot of birthdays today, or this week. Butch's birthday was yesterday as well. I know we had some others. But whenever Andy gets back, we will start Sadie's birthday blessing.
You should at least explain Olivia's birthday blessing for you.
Yeah, if you look on my Facebook page yesterday, Olivia had the great idea of wanting to give me a baby Yoda cake. And so I put a picture of the baby Yoda cake that Stephanie and Olivia put together. And it was quite impressive. And so I'm thankful for, you know, that's one of the blessings of Stephanie having some more free time. She was able to have plenty of time to make a wonderful cake with Olivia's help. So,
not everybody's on Facebook, so here's the picture.
You have it? Oh, yeah. You can see it there. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Sadie is here.
Hi.
Away from playing, so.
Sadie, today is your birthday, if I have that right, and you're turning, and you're five. Sadie, you are so creative. You are smart and kind and generous, and you are a gift to this congregation. I have enjoyed watching you grow this past year, and I wish we could do even this in person so you could hear everybody and see everybody and how special and loved you are. But virtually, I want to ask the congregations, and feel free to unmute yourself, what blessings do you have for Sadie this year?
Sadie, I love to see how you are a good sister.
Sadie, you have such a sweet spirit and a sweet smile, and I love that you are such a lover of cats.
I love how cheerful you are, Sadie, all the time.
Uh, I'll just add that when I tell this story every year, but when I was in a small group with your family and we had a picnic at the park, I brought my dog, Walter, and you just laughed and laughed and laughed at that little dog. And it's a very good memory.
I see a number of chat messages coming through as well for those who can't speak. So I hope, Sadie, you're able to get those and Andy can share those with you. Let's pray as we give thanks for Sadie. God, we're so blessed by Sadie's presence and our gifts and the fact that you have entrusted her to our care. Help us to always find ways to show Sadie Jesus through our actions, to teach her about your peace, and to help her experience your love, and to find ways of nurturing her curiosity and creativity. May we love Sadie unconditionally, and may we always do all that is within our powers to encourage her to become the person you've created her to be, with all the gifts and interests and passions that you've blessed her with. And may she know every day that you love her, that you're overjoyed with her, and that nothing can ever separate her from you. Bless Sadie. Bless her with the courage to be herself, to never be afraid to stand up for what is right and what she believes in. And bless her with a heart that is set on your love and your peace. Thank you again for Sadie, this bright gift that displays your kingdom to us, your kingdom of love and grace, every chance we get to see her. Use her to bring beauty and life and love into this world so that your reign shines just a bit brighter. Amen. And now it's time to share anything we might have to share, any announcements, any joys, any concerns, anything that you might need and want the community to know. Once again, this will be popcorn style, but again, if you have anything and you can't do it, feel free to use the chat as well if you're more comfortable to you and share it that way.
This is Audrey. One other suggestion is just identify yourself when you start to speak, because sometimes it's a little hard to recognize names online.
Hi, this is Bethany. The boys are more camera ready than I am. So,
what?
So John asked me to ask you all to remember nurses right now as you pray for what's going on. It's hard, the extra precautions you have to take, which I know a lot of you know. So you could just remember nurses and all healthcare providers. We would appreciate it. He's working today and he might have to work more than what he's scheduled, so we'll see. But this is fun, and I'm glad we're able to all meet together this way.
Oh, this is Stefan. I'm not sure how many people know, but this week I've been dealing with a mild concussion from my soccer game last weekend. And so I'm starting to heal up, but it's just taking a little bit longer than I was hoping for. So still at home, still doing all right, just kind of trying to stay off all of the mind intensive activities. So yeah, just appreciate your prayers.
This is Rhoda, and I'd just like to ask for prayers for my family as we face the reality of Gail's absence. And it's been hard, and I sometimes feel like I'm just sad all the time. So I would really appreciate your prayers.
Hi, you know, Ryan, this is Art. It's been interesting to observe how this crisis, if you want to use that term, could potentially affect the social fabric of us as a society, not just us as a church. We're very, as a church and as a faith community, I think we're very accustomed to, and we find great meaning in touch and the feeling associated with touch. And I feel like one of the consequences, be it intended or unintended, of this could be that it changes the social fabric of our experience of touch and our experience of sharing that touch with others who we're close to and close with. And I quite honestly, I'm really worried about that. I find the whole touch to be a very important part of my faith journey. And if that is now being forced to change to a distance, I think that will have an impact on a lot of things, not just who we are as Christians, but who we are as people of faith, even amongst one another. So I hope we can keep in mind that as this subsides, that we continue to recognize the importance of touch and what that means for us in exchanging our love for one another and our love for others who may or may not be part of our faith community. So anyway, it's just something that really has been concerning me this week.
Am I coming through? This is Myrna.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Myrna.
Okay. I just want to say we got home Friday around midnight to the airport, that is. Our son and his wife picked us up. So we have stayed at home, and we really don't know if anybody wants us around. Because we don't know who we have rubbed shoulders with. But we had a wonderful trip, an absolutely awesome trip. And while we were hearing all of these stories about what's happening here, we never had one regret of why did we come. It was super from beginning to end. And we ended with 3.5 hours standing on our feet, walking through the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And one thing that I remember hearing there from the Jewish guide was when the Christians were the only ones that came to the Jews. So, and the context of it, I can't go into all of that, but he did specifically say that, and that was just, and so I hear it today. The Christians were the ones that came to help. Now what do? Turn it off?
You can mute.
Oh. I did.
All right, I'm going to take that silence as saying that our sharing is done. Feel free to reach out to me, to the elders, to anyone else. We'll have more coming up. I know we'll have an email about protocols and things like that coming out this week, which John and I are going to work on, detailing things like giving and all of that and sending money to the church and some of those things that we have to think through as we are apart. And then also, I think this went well, but I would love to have feedback on Zoom and maybe what we can do better and things like that. So that I think next week we want to have a more full virtual service with some more singing and some other aspects and more participation, even maybe children's story, all of that. And so would love to have any feedback that you might have about how this morning went. This morning's prayer is a prayer that Mennonite Church, our Mennonite World Conference is asking Mennonites around the world to pray. And so let's pray. God, we pause this moment, this morning. We want to pray for people both in our country and around the world, they're impacted by the coronavirus. We pray for comfort for those who have lost loved ones, and for those who've been quarantined or, and are feeling alone. We pray for healing for those who are sick. We pray for safety, strength, and compassion for medical workers who may be overwhelmed caring for those who are battling various illnesses, and workers who are exposed to greater risks. We pray that our public officials act with compassion and wisdom as they work to contain this epidemic. We pray for those without access to health care, and for those who don't know how they're going to make it if they get sick and can't go to work. We pray that your peace will guard all of our hearts and our minds so that we're not overcome by anxiety and fear. God, inspire us all in ways to show your love to one another and to ourselves. Guide our hearts and our actions to greater care, greater kindness, and greater generosity in the midst of all of our fears and all of our uncertainties. Amen. And now Tori will lead us in our benediction, and people are free to stick around if they want to talk for a few minutes afterwards. Thank you, Audrey, for that update on Sam. If you want to stick around, but you do not feel any need to do so.
Thanks, Ryan. So we go out into the world, unsure of what the world holds. Yet may we rest in our Creator, in our Savior's love, and God's peace. And in this uncertain time, may we find ways to care for one another. Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Ryan. That's great. Thank you.